Before we get into this, I want you to take what you've heard on grace and what you've heard on humility and just stick it on a shelf for just one service at least. Amen. Because so many times when you hear certain things, you go back to your preconceived idea what that means, and then you can't receive maybe a new light on the area that's causing you to be blocked from that place. And when God originally introduced this to me, I originally tapped into this a couple weeks ago. I saw the Lord do something. Some way He got me positioned and I was able to receive a measure of His grace, and I saw Him handle four things in my life that were greatly concerning me, and He handled them in a matter of 2 days, and it went bam, 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 bam. And, you know, when you see God move in those areas that fast, you know something's up. Amen. I said, Lord, what happened there? I want more of that. Because you know when you get a hold of something. You can't serve a God of chance. You've got to know why He does it. You got to know what causes God to move into your life, and you got to understand that place, and more importantly, you have to live there continually, amen? I don't want just the isolated, I want it all the time, amen? And He's beginning to teach a few things about how to receive His grace, because you'd be amazed what can block you and what blocks His grace, but you'll also be amazed what all His grace is. If I were to go around this room and ask you what the grace of God is, I know the standard pad answers. Well, it's unlimited favor. It's unmerited favor, you know, with God's empowerment for every situation in your life. And those are very good answers, but it's a whole lot more than that. Amen. It's the catalyst by which everything He inherited on your behalf releases into and through your life. And you have to have a revelation of what He inherited on your behalf. You have to see and understand the full range of that inheritance when He ascended into the right hand of God, became the appointed heir of the Father. He was the King that was set upon the holy hill of Zion. And when He went into the right hand of God, the Father said, "Now, Son, ask of Me the nations for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." And the Father gave Him everything. "Worthy is the Lamb," you've heard us say many times, "to have received power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." All of that He inherited on your behalf. He says, "Whereunto you have obtained an inheritance." Somebody needs to say hallelujah. Booyah, amen, glory, and hallelujah are all four acceptable responses in this house, amen? And so He received that. That's why He said He blessed you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's how to get that down here. I know it's there. God put it there for a reason, so the devil couldn't walk into the last Adam and steal what he stole from the first Adam. God said, when the last Adam comes, I'm going to put that inheritance in heavenly places, give you access to it. But the devil has no access to it. Glory. Booyah. Amen. Hallelujah. He put it out of range of the devil, but put you in range. Amen. You are in range. You can receive it. And grace is the catalyst by which all of it releases into your life. Because you got to have a revelation of your inheritance. That's why He said, "I pray the eyes of my understanding being opened, being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." He wants you to know what's in that inheritance, because you can't have what you can't see. You see by what the Word defines. The Word defines your inheritance, and you see it. And then your spirit releases faith for what you see. You don't see your inheritance in the natural eye, because it's not a natural inheritance. It's a spiritual inheritance, but it will manifest in the natural if we know how to lay hold of it. And what we're looking for is all of it. I want all of it. Say all. 100-fold glory, 100-fold power, 100-fold riches, 100-fold grace, 100-fold. I want all of it. He promised it. May cost you everything to get it, but hey, you know, glory to God. So turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. Amen. What we're interested in right now is how to receive that grace. I found something explosive, already changing the dynamics of our services already. It's going to change a whole lot more. It's those veils that we carry, we don't know we're carrying, that's blocking the administration of His grace from releasing into our life. And we need to let those veils go. We need to allow God to strip them off of us. And the reason why He's doing that, not just to set you free, but to give you the capacity to receive grace. Now that the veils are removed, you can receive grace, 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 and more grace. Amen. Everyone say glory. Hallelujah. Booyah. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Release that grace. Unveil us, Father. Unveil us in this place. Unveil us in this place, Lord. We do not come to You in our own sufficiency. We do not come to You clothed in self. We do not come to You clothed, Father, in self. We lay it down. We submit it. We lay it down to the ground. Self becoming a leveled plane. Down to the ground You go. We approach the throne of grace only through the blood, only through brokenness, only through dependency. We come. That's all. That's all, Father. You do not clothe self in grace. You clothe the new man. Well, you know, the devil, he came to Adam and Eve and he told them, look, you eat from this tree, you'll be as God. You know, you'll be perfect. That's what you want, don't you? You'll be as God. Just eat of this tree. That's where we're going to pick it up. When the woman, verse 6, Genesis 3, saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit, did eat, gave also to her husband. Just in case, husband, you want to blame it on the wife, he was right there next to her. He didn't cover her like he was supposed to. Adam, all he had to do is just step in and say, no, darling, no. No, but he was right there. He's going, go ahead. I'm right behind you. He sent her out in front. Kind of the husband's fault, I think. Look at verse 7. The eyes of them both were opened. And look at this. This is the key. They knew they were naked. Before, they didn't know they were naked, because God's original system, His original program, His original mandate, intent to man was clothed in glory. See, man was clothed in the glory of God in that time because of the innocency. And I remember the Lord spoke this so well to me when Carson and Victoria were running around the backyard and we had a little pool and they were in their birthday suit. And I mean, both of them. And it was the funniest thing because they're so little, you know, we had a couple of friends around there and the Spirit of the Lord said, he goes, when do you think he's going to know that he's naked, or her? And he goes, when does that day come? He goes, that's the day of accountability. He goes, the day they know that and they start not walking outside. You understand? That actually the innocency that was in the garden, but except God clothed that in glory. See, they were clothed in glory. And so when they lost that, they saw that they were naked. Now, what's the first thing they did? This is the big problem right here. This is the problem that we don't really understand, the problem we can hardly ever see until we get in enough light with God to see what actually veils us. There's not very many Christians I know that if I walk up to them and say, are you veiled? They says, no, I'm not veiled. I love God. But, you know, you don't know until you get exposed to greater levels of glory and greater levels of light and greater levels of transformation that we're very veiled. We just don't know how veiled we are. And this is the root of the veil right here in the garden. It says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You see that? They covered themselves. That's the first thing they did. Man started covering themselves. And it's this covering that began and launched such an array. And when man, from generation to generation, we start covering ourselves with all kinds of things. It actually was the root of self. It was the root of sin, but empowered self, which is everything that's opposite of God. And man began to cover themselves with everything under the sun. Self-sufficiency, self-exaltation, control set in. And man had to begin to govern through self. And all of these things begin to release into our life, into humanity. And God, first thing He did, look at this verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord. Let me read you a few ways that we cover in self before I move any further. I'll read you some. Self-will, self-sufficiency, self-trust, self-reliance, self-protection, mechanisms. You ever see anybody try to protect themselves and they've got walls so thick? I mean, you couldn't break those bars if you wanted to. Fort Knox, they're walking Fort Knox. They have walls around them because they're trying to protect something in them. It's all governed from a root of fear and self. And that's also, little they know, is blocking the grace of God. Because as long as you're trying to protect yourself, His clothing of protection can't come upon you. God will never resist. Self has to be laid down and laid bare. There's this self-pity. Pride rooted in self, control rooted in self, independence rooted in self, confidence, the wrong kind, rooted in self. There's a God confidence, and then there's the confidence in the flesh. And Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh, because he walked with God under the Jewish religion with confidence in the flesh. And God said, that's not going to do. I need the confidence that only Christ can provide. And so we have to know how to remove this covering and recognize it, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to receive God's empowerment, the inheritance that He has for us, and the unmeasurable grace that causes almost instantaneous release and instantaneous blessing in our life, because what He did for us is enough. And when Paul was complaining to the Lord, said, look, this strong man's on me, God. You got to get him off of me. Everywhere I go, there he is. And God came to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. This stuff is working my plan. It is bringing you to a place of human weakness. But in that place, it's bringing you to a place where you can be clothed on high. And when I put my armor on you, and when I put my grace upon you, and when I put my glory upon you, that enemy can't touch you. Paul was, he was a very disciplined man. He talked about it in Philippians 3, how confidence in the flesh. He goes, man, I was strong at what I did. It was all rooted out of the wrong person. It was the wrong side, and God had to get that thing broken and laid down where Christ could veil him, where he could be crucified with Christ, but nevertheless he would live, yet he'd be veiled in another. See, the key to where we're going in the kingdom, we got to be veiled in another. That's why the church is not getting the results it wants, because we got too many veils. We're trying to do it ourselves, and God said, lay it all down. But even laying it down is not enough. You're going to have to access after you lay down. You have to learn to access. Amen. Some people think if I just surrender, he'll come. No, you surrender and then you go to him. And they heard the voice of the Lord God, verse 8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. This is another problem. We clothe our own self. And when we clothe our own self, what we do? We go hiding. You don't know you're hiding. You know how many of us run? Oh, you'd never believed I run from God. I used to run from God all the time, stand right up here and preach every Sunday. But in my heart, I was running. I was running. I'd stand here and say, well, I'm in the ministry, so I'm with you. And God said, you're not with me. You just stand up there on Sundays. He said, but the other day, you're running. Anybody ever run from God? Everybody running right now? So you hide. And when you start hiding, that's when the problem, because the more you hide, the more veils you get, because you're going to start doing it all yourself. Once you start hiding, it's all you, see, because now that you're hiding and you're clothed, now you're cut off, see, that you were supposed to be clothed in glory. You see what I mean? You're supposed to be in union and clothed in glory with him, in oneness. And that glory was your protection. That glory was your sufficiency. That glory drew the provision of God into your life, see. But when we're hiding and we're veiled, see, we're veiled. Now, you can do all kinds of things. So what's my problem? I don't know. You got to get with the Holy Ghost and see what's blocking the grace. But if you're being blocked from the grace, there's some kind of veil over your life that's rooted some way, somehow in self. And that veil has been put over you. And that veil will not allow the grace of God to flow freely in your life. You'll get measures, but we need fullness in this hour. Everyone say, fullness. Amen. So we're hiding. We're running and we're veiled, clothed in ourself. Self-exaltation is a form of being clothed. You know, it's kind of the epitome of unbelief. Because you know what self-exaltation does? It wants to stand there and say, you know, I got to do this because I really don't believe God will promote me. So I got to stand up in there and do it myself. That is an ugly spirit. Every once in a while, ministers will come in here with that veil all over them, you know. It's an ugly spirit because it's rooted in self, and it has a stench to it, really. Because it's not there for the kingdom. It's there for personal gain. And it's there with a personal agenda. See, you can get veiled in personal agendas and walk around and say, glory, glory, hallelujah. We're veiled. And when we're veiled, we're cut off from the very thing that can exalt you, the grace of God. That's why he said, humble yourself under. Since I said that, let's go over and look at that scripture for a minute, shall we? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Wow, we've been working way too hard. You know, that's the problem. You work way too hard because it's too much rooted in us. The most difficult thing ever is to allow God to strip you down. But that in itself that leads to brokenness will not release God's fullness. Brokenness is the major key, a major key, but in itself will not. You have to take that broken state where you're stripped down, where you've lost your confidence. Sometimes it's good to lose your confidence because God in this last day is not going to let the confidence that's rooted in self reign in the body of Christ. That's not the kind of confidence he's looking for. It's the loss of our own confidence. When we're in that broken state, then we move into the throne of grace boldly, and we receive the confidence of heaven. We receive the glory of God. We receive the protection of God. We receive the blessings of God. We get clothed again like they did in the original garden. Clothed in glory. Clothed in grace. Clothed in power. Clothed in wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Not some, but all. Lean not unto your own understanding. We have to go a few rounds with our own understanding to figure out our own understanding. Get us a lot of trouble in the kingdom of God. In the world, our own understanding got us somewhere. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. Booyah. Hallelujah. Glory. Our own confidence may have got us somewhere there, but in the kingdom, it's not going to get us there. All of it's got to be laid down. Lean not to your own understanding. You're going to keep leaning until you realize your own understanding is not going to get you. You're going to keep leaning. Lean not unto thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge. See, you just don't arrive there one day. See, because there's something called self that says, I think I've got this handled. I want to govern your life. I want to control it like the old days. We're just in a new kingdom and that's okay. And I want to show you we can do this. And when self releases it in one of its facets, in one of its form, and when it releases into your life, it'll get you in big trouble because it's releasing through confidence and wisdom that's rooted in self. And when it releases, I mean, sometimes you think God's all over it. I just know it's God. I've gone out there. Wait till you go out in the investment world without God. You'll get into big trouble. Say big trouble. That's called Ishmael. Ishmael's rooted in self, rooted in the wrong part. And when it releases, see, once that release comes, see, if that happens to you a couple times, three or four times, for the granite heads, 100 times. Sometimes it takes a long time. I was quite a granite head myself. I didn't get it the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time I started waking up, sixth time, just totally slaughtered and broken. Finally, I said, I can't do it. God said, that is right. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
He got it. He got it. And so I sit over there sideline because I got it. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's not in me. Even Jesus himself, the Son of Man, can do nothing in self. I can only do what I see my Father doing when I'm in union with him. When self has been surrendered, I got to walk it just like the rest of you. So I can do nothing. Even though I'm the Son of God, I can't do it in self. I can't even do it in my position. I have to do it. My Father's going to do the works through me. It's the Father that's doing the works. We got to get back in that position. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. I want you to take your preconceived understanding and notion of what this verse means and stick it on a shelf for the next 5 minutes. Amen. Likewise, verse 5, younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Look at this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty, you can put right hand of God. That mighty right hand was God's government. That was the authority of his throne. He said, you got to come under my throne. You got to come under my grace. You have to come under my government. You can't be under my government and be clothed in self at the same time. You can't be covered in self-sufficiency and covered in God's throne at the same time. You're going to be clothed in one or the other. That's the big problem. Humble. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, read it like this. Humble self. Humble self under. Now, watch this, what the Holy Spirit said. This is awesome. This will help you so much. He said, God resisteth the proud. That's what he said to me. Just sitting in the prayer calls, he said, I want to give you my definition of what it means to be proud. You ready for this? He says, to be clothed in the glory of one's self. That's what pride is. See, when we're clothed, here's the big problem. I'm going to just lay it out for you. Everybody jumps out, runs out, gets moving, and say, God, come help me. God, I give you glory. I give you praise. Come, 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 come. Come help me. But you're already out there in front of him. What did he say? If any man follow me. So you got to let him out in front of you. That means daily, he's got to go out in front of you. You jump out in front of him, you're generally going to be clothing yourself, asking him to come help you. Come help me, God. Come on, come on. If you want better results, what you do, see, be clothed in the glory of oneself. We have to relinquish that clothing. And here's what the Lord showed me. He says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Humble self under the mighty hand of God. Then come boldly under the throne of grace. Here's what we do. We come boldly under the throne of grace, but we're clothed with us. We're clothed in the wrong clothing. Clothing you can't see. Clothing that's frustrating you because you're not getting the results you want, and you're not getting answered prayer, and you're not getting God to come on the scene, and you're not getting the empowerment of heaven because you can't see that stuff because it's spiritual in nature and it's very familiar to us, and we haven't walked with God and gotten enough light where he can show us that stuff. And so what happens? We come clothed in ourselves, and then we're saying, oh God, clothe me. You see that? He said, clothe me, God. Yeah, but I've got something there that's blocking my clothes. Yeah, but clothe myself. Clothe self in your glory. What does he say? No flesh can glory in his presence. If you're going to get clothed upon high, you have to come into the throne of grace to receive it. Everyone say amen. Say amen. You're supposed to be happy about talking about crucifixion of self and all that. I mean, I can't believe not everybody's just shouting up and down here. I don't understand it. You should be on your feet shouting hallelujah right now. Talking about crucifixion of self. But really, that's what's in the way. But here's the deal. Every one of us, we've had battles in this area. But you're trying to change that. He didn't ask you to change it. He said, deny it. There's a difference between trying to change yourself and denying. You don't have the power to change it. That's trying to get another part of you to change the mountain in you. I got a mountain in me, and I'm going to take another mountain and try to move the other mountain. You got to have something higher than self to overcome self. He didn't say transform self. He said humble self. Deny it and bring it under the glory and the power and the covering of the right hand. That's why he said you got to humble. He says become a plain, leveled ground. You got to humble self. How do you do that? You got to recognize it's the problem. You got to go around the mountain long enough to realize you can't do it. As long as you think you can do it, you won't do this. Trust me. You will wake up tomorrow and keep doing the exact same thing. But how many of you ever been broken a little bit? Raise your hand. How many of you ever gone around the mountain and said, I can't do it? If you ever said that to God, raise your hand. How many of you, God keeps teaching that thing over and over and over and over and over? Raise your hand. Why does he teach you the same thing over? All the time. Because he's not going to allow self to reign in you as a son and daughter of God. He wants to bring you into an inheritance way beyond you. He said, I'm going to bring you into the promised land, and I'm going to make you 1,000 times greater than yourself. I can't do that if you still think you can do it. So I got to teach you over and over and over and over and over until you stop. There's a lot of broken people that have been exercised heavily in that area. That's good. But you can't stay there because you can't walk in the kingdom of God just being broken. you have to access something now greater than yourself. But now you're in a position to do so because God's been leading you more than you know. He's been preparing you. If you haven't figured that out yet, you got lots of trials and pain ahead of you. But if you have figured it out, everyone say, lift your hand, say, glory. At least I got that one. Because that's going to position you to receive grace. Now, here's how you do it. You've got to humble self under. See, I have to recognize when I wake up, I've already gone around this mountain long enough. Tried to build the church 1,000 different ways, did everything man said to do, went to this conference, growth conference, that growth conference, and God said, how about my growth conference? I got a growth conference for you. I can do this. He goes, I can get you out of the way. I can do this. There's this part of me that kept jumping in the way called control. Except I didn't call it control. I called it zeal. God said, control. And then I take that control, anoint me. Oh, anoint me from on high. Revival, glory, power, wealth transference. Give it all to me. God said, we got one big problem. You're veiled in control. And if I put my glory on top of that control, I've got a big monster. It was already a big monster. He was already a Goliath. He's already a Goliath. It's the recognition daily. You know, I can get up and go out there on my own, or I can get up there getting clothed on high. But you got to know how to get clothed. What's the first step? Humble self. Humble self. I'm going to give you a master key. Go over the book of Hebrews. Master key to enter into grace. What's blocking the access of grace in your life is you're veiled and you haven't relinquished the veil through the acknowledgement of it. You don't have to change the veil. You have to acknowledge the veil. You got to lay it down. If you don't lay it down, you're coming into the throne of grace clothed with something that God himself is resisting. Because we're clothed in the glory of oneself. And God said, I cannot clothe that. I want to clothe you, but I can't clothe that. Do you understand? Hebrews 4, verse 10. He that has entered into his rest. You know, when you're a very defensive person and got a lot of walls around you, you ever hug somebody and they're like a brick wall? You ever done that? You hug them and like just cold. You know why they're cold? They've spent a lifetime protecting a very wounded heart. And they've developed a self-protection mechanism. It's walls that are built by self-protection. And it gets so thick that it's very hard to let anybody into that. They can smile, but they won't let you in. They've built them really thick. Wives, this happens a lot to husbands. They speak evil and whatever, and they take that in, and they build walls to try to protect their heart, and the husband don't realize it. And see, all that happens. But here's the problem with these walls. They don't protect you from the darts of the adversary. He said, oh, that was built on my kingdom. I can go right through that wall. That's what the devil says. He goes, that's built in the kingdom of self. I have authority to go straight through that wall. You see that? He can go right through it. But when God's glory and God's walls around you, he can't walk up and just, he'll get stopped out. Amen. What was Jesus? Full of what? Grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. We have to have grace and truth. You can't hide behind the walls. You can't hide behind the facade. You can if you want, but you're not going to receive his fullness. You're not going to receive his answers. Verse 10, he that had entered into his rest, the Lord's rest, has ceased what? From his own works. Those works are rooted in self. See, there's a ceasing. You don't cease from work. You cease from your own work. Do you understand that? That's big. As God did from his, let his labor therefore to enter into that rest. Holy Spirit, I thank you for settling in here right now. This is the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Joints and marrow, discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See that word, that's why you have to have a strong meat. Milk is not going to bring this kind of operation into accountability. You can live a whole life in self because milk will never bring you into that. When you start eating strong meat belongs to full age. It's going to cause a reaction of accountability and bring what's blocking God's greatest operation and promotion in your life. It's going to bring that part into, it's going to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, and it's going to bring self into light. How painful it may be, that is what's blocking your promotion. Because grace is an automatic promotion from heaven. If you can achieve humility, humility is, it's not just walking around, hey, my name's Pastor, good to meet you. That's not humility. Humility is the absolute dependence to realize I can't. I must have something greater than me to get this job done. I must receive something from heaven. And Father, I laid down my garments. Humility is absolute dependency upon God. Absolute. That's what he was trying to get Paul. Don't miss this. Neither, verse 13, is there any creatures that manifest in his sight. Look at this, going back to the garden. Ready for this? All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That word naked means without clothing. Isn't that a revelation? But he's not talking about these clothes. He's talking about the one you're wearing. When we come in, he says, now, three verses later, come therefore now boldly unto the throne of grace. See, all things are naked and exposed. You can't come to him covered in yourself and ask for that grace to flow. That's what's blocking the grace. That's why you got to come into the garden. You got to come back into the throne of grace. And the first thing he said, deny self. Put it under the jurisdiction of my throne daily and watch what I do. Let's just do this together, shall we? Amen. You ever learn to do this? Things are going to change. What you need is grace. The callous of grace that'll release his inheritance on your behalf, that'll release his power on your behalf. What blocks the grace is clothed in yourself, even though you don't know you're clothed in self. Amen. So Father, today we come before you, and first and foremost, we deny self. Deny it. Deny its right to govern our life. Deny its right to control. Deny its rights to exalt, promote, and govern the decisions of our day. Deny its rights to operate in its own sufficiency apart from God. Father, today in the acknowledgement, we come to you and lay down the garments. We lay down self in all its forms. We acknowledge before you, Father, it's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's only by your Spirit. It's only by grace. We come to you stripped. We come to you naked, void of the clothing of self. We lay it down and ask you to wash those garments in the blood of Jesus. Clothe us and cover us in the blood only. Cover us in the blood only. We come under, present our life under the shadow of your wings. We present it under the government of thy right hand. Everyone in here, present your life under an acknowledgement. I present under the government, under your mighty hand. I don't have to transform myself. Grace will do that for me. I just have to surrender it. I have to submit it. I have to lay the garment down. Today we lay the garment down. Lay the garment down. You know, I see people like laying palm trees down, like their garments being laid down. They laid palm trees and garments down for the king. See, he was above. He came in riding above. See, we have to lay that down so that king can ride above. We don't go out without you. We don't go out in front of you. Father, I know the trouble I can get in if I left this part of me unrestrained. But if I surrendered under the shadow of your wings, let your grace release now. Let your grace, Father, grant every one of us in this place grace. Grant us the covering of grace. Grant us the inheritance of grace. Grant us the catalyst of grace to release your fullness in every area of our life, to release your glory and clothe us in glory. Clothe us in the honor that's from above. Father, we want the honor that's from above. We want to be honored from above. I don't want the honor that comes from this world system. I want the honor from above. Grant it out of the riches and glory that are in Christ. Grant us power, grace to be clothed in power, grace to be filled with wealth and riches, grace to be filled with wisdom, grace, grace. You're going to have to let your wall down. Some of you don't know what it means to be vulnerable. If you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable in God's sight, you're going to stay clothed in the wrong kingdom. And it's going to block His fullness from coming and transforming the circumstances of your life. You got to be vulnerable. We lay it down at His feet. We come to you in recognition that what we have been clothed in is not getting the job done. We put off the old man today. We put on the new man, which after God is righteousness and holiness. We put on the armor of light today. We ask you today, as we laid down the garments of self, we laid down, Father, that fallen place. Father, we lay it down. We refuse to be clothed any longer in the systems of this world. We refuse self its right to govern our life. Today, Father, we come to honor you, deny self its right to govern our life anymore. Place it under the shadow of the Almighty. All we can do is put it under your power, Lord. Only your power can level that mountain. But we place it under, not over. We will not allow it to exalt itself against the knowledge of your will. Not allow it to exalt it against your plan. Not our will, but thy will. Today we lay that down. We lay self that governs our will down at your feet. Place it under your shadow. We ask to be clothed in glory, to be clothed in the honor from above, and for the grace, the empowerment of heaven, to release into our life, to do things we could not do, to open doors of favor that would not open, to remove the stumbling blocks that would not move, to open, Father, brand new realms of glory, to walk in freedom, to walk in victory, to walk in goodness, to walk in mercy, to walk in blessing. I want to be covered. We want to be covered in blessing today. We want to be covered in the blessing that is from above. We want to be covered in the kingdom. It's your good pleasure to give it to us as long as we're not veiled. Give us the kingdom. Give us a revival. Give us a wealth transference. Grant us grace, grace, and more grace.